You know, there were some elementary kids that were interviewed about mothers, on the topic of mothers. And so I want to share a little bit of what they were asked and how they responded. They were asked, why did God make mothers? And one of them said, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. That actually happened in our house yesterday. And how did God make mothers? They were asked. One child said, magic plus superpowers and a whole lot of stirring. And the next one said, what kind of little girl was your mom? And the answer was, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess is pretty bossy. And the fourth, what does your mom do in her spare time? Moms don't have spare time. And finally, what's special about moms? Moms are magic. They can make you feel better without medicine. So we thank God, Goddess, for mothers, for children to be loved by mothers, and for all of us to have the opportunity both to be mothered and to mother, to be in that cycle of giving and receiving that is all a part of celebrating this energy we call mother love. That mother God idea is actually a trinity. So when we think of the triune God, we can think of the mother goddess as the allness of God, that first principle in unity, that sense of all permeating, all goodness, everywhere present. And the second principle of unity in this context of mothers is the divine feminine qualities within all of us. It's that highest and best good that we bring forth into the world. And in that traditional Trinity idea, there is a Holy Spirit, the whole spirit of love in this case, that love that animates all life, that love that permeates all life, that brings us a sense of vibrancy. It can be seen, that Holy Spirit, as a collective energy, a kind of energy in the world that when we need justice or collaboration or kindness, it comes forth for us. So it can be so many things, Mother. But no matter the form, whether it's earthly or spiritual, it is that symbolic idea of love and all of its emanations, all of its ways of being in the world. Evan Hodkin said this, a mother's love is so complete, so nourishing, it can only be God loving through them. And we know that from our own experiences of feeling that love, whether we are feeling it for a child or for another in that sort of role of mother, whether it's formal or informal. And we can also relate to that as someone who experiences it, who receives it. We are most at home in the presence of mother love because it brings us back into our hearts. And that's that place of home within us. When we are strayed, when we feel lost, when we feel weary, it's a place we can go back to rest, to refuel, to be restored for comfort. We return home to the mother in the physical, but also, of course, in the spiritual. Years ago, I was watching The Waltons with my mom, that old well-loved. It was well-loved by our family. We tended to watch it a lot. And I was sitting there with my mom as John Boy came home from the war and surprised his mom. She was gardening, and so her back was to him. And when he came up and surprised her, there was this, you know, big, joyous reunion, lots of hugging and laughing and crying all at the same time. But the best part of watching that with my mom was when I looked over to her, and tears were just streaming down her face. And I just thought about how it's so innate for mothers, right, to feel that unbreakable bond, really, and that rejoicing of the reunion, of the coming home, when a beloved child comes home to the mother. I think it's much like the mother energy, the divine mother energy that welcomes us home when we have strayed, when we have become weary, when we have forgotten about the truth of the divine that is within and all around us. And particularly this angle of the qualities, these mother qualities are the ones that really embrace us and pull us back to her. And so when we sink into that proverbial lap of the mother, there are so many things that we gain from that experience. There can be that sense of, you know, we've just stopped striving. And so all the striving and the goal setting and the action that happens in the world can just, we can, you know, do a little time out and rest. It's that moment of surrender, of self-care, of giving over, of letting ourselves relax and just be who we are in our authentic beings, to put our feet up. And it's here when we do that, that we remember who we are, that there is that remembering, that coming back together of the wholeness of who we are. Ah, yes, here I am. Here I am in my rested state. Here I am in my peaceful state. Here I am in my truth. It's also a joyous reunion. There can be great joy in the coming home. And there's that sense that the mother is this figure, this symbol that stands by us, that's with us, you know, to catch us when we fall, that stands by us no matter how we show up, no matter how many times we may fail or not quite get it right. So there's that sense that we are supported, and there's also the knowing that we are going to be nudged out of the nest when it's time to, and we'll need to fly, right? When it's time to get back out there in the world, there'll be that mother kind of nudge, that encouragement to say, you can do this, you can get back on your feet and do whatever it is that is ours to do. All of these things come from that homecoming, that coming back to mother. We are continuously accepted. We are continuously welcomed. We are continuously loved when we come home. And so when we allow ourselves to be taken in, it's much like how Love Eternal brings us into the song. To allow ourselves to be taken in by the mother may feel and sound and look like this. Let's take a look.
What if we broke down and called this world heaven? Could we leave our stories behind? What if we treated this earth like the Garden of Eden? Bearing fruits, alright. I will take you in to my prayers at least. There's no place in my home. I will bless your way. I will pray for you. Wherever you may roam, you are my brother. You are my sister. You are a child of God, whether you know it or not. You shine as brightly as the sun. My mother loves you. Your mother loves me too. Let us dwell in the house that she has built. Third planet from the sun. I call it heaven. I call it heaven. Let us dwell here. Let us dwell here.
You know, it feels like the mother weeps when we come home. When we come back to that grounding, when we come back to that resting place, when we come back to that remembrance of who we are. Felt a little like that, actually a lot like that this morning, as many of you were welcomed back to Unity on our lawn at the 9:30 service. And as we gathered, as we came home, it felt as if, you know, here in our spiritual home, the earth and the trees and the even the buildings, you know, that there was a kind of sense of loneliness previously and all the time that we've been away, and just a real rejoicing of coming home and bringing the life back to this place. And so through all the years, you know, of laughter, of blessings, of song, of socializing, of children running and playing, you know, it's back now. It's becoming back. So we're taking those steps to reunite, and it feels really good to come home. Just like it feels really good to come home to our hearts, to come home to this mother energy we're talking about today. You know, we wouldn't exist here at Unity if it weren't for our founding mothers. Myrtle Fillmore was the founder of the whole Unity movement. And of course, we have our founder here at Unity of Walnut Creek, Reverend Marie Giles, who led this congregation for a very long time and to this place that is our sacred grounds today. Reverend Carol Ruth Knox was the next minister and left an indelible mark on our community. And so by saying their names, Myrtle Fillmore and Marie Giles and Carol Ruth Knox, we invoke that presence too, acknowledging those who have come before. We acknowledge the mothers who have come before that stewarded this land, the goat farmers that were here before this was Unity of Walnut Creek, and before that, the Native American mothers who loved and stewarded this land in their way, and their full the way of fully connecting to the earth. We invoke the spirit by our own ways, in our own ways. There are many different ways that we can bring forth that essence of mother quality, that essence of mother love. And of course, there's Mother Earth herself that calls us to her, that, you know, in the principle of science, in the literal way, there's the gravity, right, that keeps us safe, that keeps us connected at all times. But of course, beyond that, there's the metaphysical, the spiritual, the part that is that glue, that love that just automatically happens. As my friend Kelly Hunt sings, gravity loves you, baby. I know that many of us have felt pulled back to Unity for a very long time. And it wasn't a straight path back. It was more like a labyrinth. It was more like a circuitous kind of circular path with switchbacks. And so more like our labyrinth that's here on our grounds now. I was surprised actually to see when I was going through some files recently that my very first talk here on the first day at Unity of Walnut Creek 4 years ago on Easter Sunday, I used the metaphor of the labyrinth as my pathway back, or my pathway here, to Unity of Walnut Creek. And so when we consider that, what all that the labyrinth holds, it's actually the particular design that we have, the Chart Essence Labyrinth, is very feminine in its design. It comes from the Chart Cathedral, that 11-circuit labyrinth. Ours is a 7-circuit labyrinth, but it has the same design features that are very feminine. It has rose petals in the middle. And so when you come to the middle to meditate or to rest there, you are actually standing or sitting in an open flower. And so there's a sense of being held all the time by that kind of feminine energy. Across from the entrance to our labyrinth, we have a statue of the earth goddess Gaia. And around the labyrinth has been planted roses. And all of this creates some of that divine feminine space. And it wasn't all intentional. It actually was as if we all were just sort of organically led, that just one thing showed up and then another thing showed up and then it just seemed like a good idea to do this or that, and then pretty soon this labyrinth just materialized. In fact, some people say that when they walk past the labyrinth that it feels as if it's always been there. I feel that too, as if it just came out of the invisibility and was made visible. It's that kind of mystery that we touch into, that we are in conversation with, that goddess energy here at Unity and on our land, and that we ourselves, each individually, can be in that constant conversation as well. Do you remember Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh? I was a big fan, and I was really excited for the opportunity to actually go and see him. I got to go and see him about the same year that our peace tiles were put up here at Unity, which are also surrounding the labyrinth, and which have recently been restored by Rick Wagner and Becky and Mark Paulson with so much love and so much care. A strong backing put back, the pieces mended, just like we are when we come home to that mother energy. So getting to see Neil Donald Walsh was at Unity Temple on the plaza in Kansas City that same year these peace tile walls were going up at Unity here on our grounds. And being at Unity Temple on the plaza is another kind of homecoming because it's a historical place for us in Unity. It's the second church that was built, and it was actually a lot of the first congregation that came over to that church. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, was a big part of the creation of that temple. So there I was sitting, waiting for Neil Donald Walsh. But the inspiration that night didn't come from him. It came from his warm-up musician, or should I say through his warm-up musician, and what was evoked in the space. So James Twyman began to play instruments, a lot of them. He had bells on his toes and his feet. He had instruments on his wrists, he was playing the keyboards, and he was singing. It was pretty incredible. I was in awe of what he was able to do all at once. I'm always in awe of somebody who can play an instrument and sing at the same time, let alone that many instruments and sing. But as he was playing and as I was getting into what he was singing and the experience of the music, I began to smell roses. And I looked all around in every direction, but there were no roses anywhere in the room. And I knew it wasn't perfume because it was a distinct smell of as if, you know, your nose is submerged in a real rose. It was such a mystery. I couldn't figure out where is this smell coming. And it wasn't all the time he was playing. It was just periodic. It was just sort of waft through the air. So afterwards I went up to James and I said, you know, the whole time you were playing, off and on, I could smell roses. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. And he said, ah, with a sort of familiar delight, the mother was here. It was the first time I'd ever had that kind of experience where by listening to music, I was smelling roses and not identifying it with a divine mother, but learning that that was an identification through him and then sharing that in that moment. It was really potent. So it's how does that get evoked for you? In that moment for me, it was through the music, obviously, and there was this touching of a divine mystery when he said, ah, she was here. It was like, wow, just like that. Just like that, the allness of this mother goddess was called forth. And so to feel that, to enter into that, those moments that we experience, it's really a beautiful and it seems like rare opportunity. So what is it for you that might evoke that? Maybe it's being immersed in water, like warm bath water or a bubbling brook or a waterfall or the ocean. Or maybe it's having your hands in the fertile soil or coming across a cave and sitting in the cool of a cave on a hike. Or perhaps it's digging in the dirt at home in your own garden or touching a fabric that's soft and silky. Maybe having a home-cooked meal made for you or you cooking a meal for someone else, or the aroma of that good food or the taste of that good food. The mother is sensuous. The mother is earth. The mother is embodied spirituality. So it's this beautiful coming together of body and soul, of soul and soil, if you will, of the earth itself and that vastness of sky and spirit intermingling together. So all of that is a part of that magic of coming home. I mean, I was in my spiritual home with that unity foundation of home when that happened, that experience happened for me. And it seems like this Mother God energy does have a sense of place often associated with it. So whatever it is that we call home in that moment, a feeling of home on particular grounds, a feeling of familiarity in a particular place, in a room, or with in the company of others, perhaps. All of these things can evoke that sense. So you may feel as if this route back home to our spiritual home, as we begin to reunite today in person, that this has been a very circuitous kind of route, right? There's been a lot of switchbacks and circles. It's not been a straightaway shot to get here. That we have been collectively moving through this contagious dis-ease to get to a place of greater wellness and ease. I think that's really our work now, to be in that space. It's a welcome space to be moving into, isn't it? And these are the gifts of the goddess, really, wellness and ease. She accepts us as we are, honors our authentic expression, forgives our mistakes, and just embraces us. As one child said in the beginning, share, that she's magic, that she can make you better even without any medicine. She loves as an idyllic mother loves her child, draws that child into the graciousness of her lap, and sees only perfection and wholeness. We are at ease when we are there. We are at home when we are there. And so how is it that we find all this goodness? Well, remember what you are looking for is always looking for you. This story illuminates it a little bit more. Valerie Carr is an author who wrote See No Stranger. We actually drew from that book a bit throughout the season for nonviolence. And she talks about her son, Kavi, and this experience of a lucid dream that she had while she was on an acupuncture table. She said she felt like she traveled through layers of consciousness, dropping down deeper, and then landed with a thud. And there, dangling his little feet with his back to her, was a little boy. She looked down at the boy. He was in a red jumper, and he just smiled at her. And she said she felt this enraptured kind of love, this intense, bright love for him. She didn't want to leave. And he kept smiling at her, and after a while, he started to disappear, and she cried out, no! She didn't want to ever be separated from this love that she was feeling. And she felt as if he knew, and she knew, even though she asked him, who are you? She knew that it was her son. She'd always wanted a daughter. She couldn't imagine a son, but here he was. Not even like a figment of her imagination, but feeling very real. As he began to disappear and she cried out, no, he said, you have to find me. And then he disappeared a little more. You have to find me. And then he was gone. 7 years later, Valerie gave birth to a boy who she named Kavi. When Kavi was 3 years old, she was wrestling with him on the bed to get him into his pajamas. You know how kids sometimes get really squirmy. And as he was squirming and chattering, he suddenly stopped and got very still. And he looked at his mom in the eyes and he said, how you found me? And she said, well, I just looked for you and I found you. And he said, how you found me? And she said, well, we moved across the country and we went to the Star Nursery and we found you. He said, how you found me? She said, Appa and I found you together. She said, it wasn't until she said that that he was satisfied. A little bit later, when he was lying in bed about to go to sleep, he put his hand on Valerie's cheek and he said, you're the mommy I choose. As we grow, we allow ourselves to be found more and more by this divine love. We open ourselves, we relax, we stop all of our striving, and we welcome in this divine love. Find me. find me. And we also evoke that presence, honor that presence through the rituals that we do or through all those kinds of possibilities, chanting, singing, dancing, gardening, whatever it is that we do that evokes some of that warm and home-like presence for us. And so we too emulate then the qualities as we grow. As we grow and mature, we become that, whether we are male or female, transcending gender, we become that sort of feminine quality in expression that can be offered to others, a sort of mothering to others. Even Jesus likened himself to a mother hen, that kind of energy. And it might look like, you know, if we are willing, how we can consider for ourselves how it might look, how it will look for us to be a mother, to love others, to welcome others. How we will become one who judges less and welcomes and celebrates authenticity more. How can we be that kind of place of rest and refuge for others? What do we need to do to shift inside of us so that we can be more of that warm embrace in our outer countenance? What maybe needs to soften? Because it is by softening, it is by opening, it is by opening our arms and our heart that we allow the masses that could use a little comfort to be comforted by us, one at a time. And the wisdom we have within us is also mother wisdom that helps us know when we need to be comforted ourselves and when we are in a space to comfort others, to be this loving presence for others. How will you be that place of ease for yourself? And how can you offer that place of ease to others? These are the questions I hope that you will ponder a bit in your time of prayer and meditation and your walk about today on Mother Earth, on Mother's Day. These ways of being foster wellness and ease, these ideas that are, as time has come. And our journey back home has allowed us to move now into them more fully. So now that we are coming home to the mother within us, coming home to each other, to our community, to Mother Earth, to these sacred grounds, there is all this homecoming occurring. And as we do so, we know these truths, that this is a joyous reunion. And we know this truth, that we are at ease. So I invite you to close out with me by speaking this affirmation together. I come home to the mother. It is a joyous reunion. I am at ease. And so it is. Happy Mother's Day.